Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist, America-loving patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. This is episode 23-31, and great to have you with us, and missed you last Sunday. We're not able to do a Sunday evening podcast, but all is well, and hopefully you've been tracking along with us in the morning commute shows, even if you can't catch those live and you pick those up on the podcast. They're all uploaded to the same place, podbean.com. That's radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. What an eventful weekend. Starting off Saturday morning that we were waking up to, unless you were up real late and you started seeing the initial reports of this massive coordinated attack against southern Israel. At least a dozen cities and towns, villages in Israel where Hamas terrorists crossed into Israel, crossed the border, breached the border, and carried out horrendous crimes against humanity, rape, murder, executions, torture, kidnapping of multiple civilians, almost all civilians were killed or captured. That was their primary target, although there are military personnel, Israeli military, who were killed, and presumably some of them are in captivity. There are dozens of Americans also among those that have been taken. Men, women, children, babies, toddlers, executed or being held currently. Israel has declared war, and this has the potential to escalate very rapidly, very widely. And so this has the potential to drastically alter the geopolitical landscape for at least the foreseeable future. We'll see how this ends up turning out, but that's what I'm going to cover in segments 2 and 3, the ramifications for that. Kind of ties in with, well, the topic of, you know, forming militias in America because of the threats that we face. Well, this is a new element. Remember what I said, expect the unexpected, expect subsequent disasters, emergencies to be unprecedented. In other words, not like what we've seen before. We've not seen anything like what we saw in the Israeli attack before. And it has the potential for things that we have not seen before or cannot fathom or comprehend. You could not have put this Hamas attack on your radar a week ago, 72 hours ago, 96 hours ago. Supposedly, this even took Israel by surprise. That is very suspicious to me. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about tonight and how it could impact you and me. This is not just something that's happening 7,000 miles away. So what? Well, so I'm going to talk about the so what here tonight. But first, let's get into the news and commentary, which will be very short. The news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0. Glenn Tate, the author of the novel 299 days, that actually the 10 book series. Shelby Gallagher over there with Glenn Tate on that podcast, Prepping 2.0. She's the author of A Great State, and that website is prepping2-0.com. All right, so first of all, from the Daily Wire, 2,500 dead after an earthquake strikes Afghanistan. We got three earthquakes that all took place just in rapid succession. Boom, boom, boom. Magnitude 6.0 hits Mexico. Magnitude 6.3 hits Afghanistan. That's 2,500 dead and rising. And a 6.7 strikes Papua New Guinea. So no word on casualties with the Mexico or Papua New Guinea earthquakes, but things are definitely kicking up. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, all of these things are definitely picking up. There's an article, I'm just going to read the headline. Mexican cartels are now inside the U.S. forming gangs and sniper nests to take out Americans. That was covered by freedomfirstnetwork.com. But it reminded me of a story. Actually, I started seeing a ATF notification put out, especially it was geared toward licensed firearms dealers, warning them of a suspected, according to their intelligence reports, an effort by cartels or illegals to acquire belt-fed weapons, precision rifles, sniper rifles, and other types of combat-type rifles, and to keep an eye out if anything is suspicious or an attempted strawman-type purchase, especially along the southern border. You know, alert the ATF, let them know. So apparently they've got some type of intel that's pointing to an effort to really arm up among at least the cartels, and who knows who else, with all the Chinese special operations we got coming into the country. Of course, I'm sure their advance party has been acquiring weapons for them for quite some time. But anyway, this is a new element to that. USSA News reposted an article, I believe it was from WorldNet Daily originally. This is sad. An eight-year-old who at the time was featured, he was 5 years old, but an eight-year-old featured in COVID propaganda video dies after cardiac arrest. An Israeli child has died 3 years after appearing with his father, who's a pediatrician, in a government film informing children that they have no choice but whether to take the COVID vaccine when it becomes available. Yonatan Ehrlichman was 5 years old at the time of the video, which was produced by some regional council, a regional government body. It aired as an episode in the government-run program Shushki in the Land of Binyamin to entertain and educate children. And now, 8 years old, dead from a heart attack. Unacceptable. Well, we've been warning of this for years. And speaking of targeting our children, this came out from lawenforcementtoday.com. LA elementary schools, and don't get hung up, this is Los Angeles. They are doing this across the country. But listen to this. LA elementary schools having kindergartners participate in a week-long National Coming Out Day activities. According to a report from Fox 11, elementary schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District will be celebrating National Coming Out Day for an entire week. Why don't they just call it National Coming Out Week? Oh, by the way, they've now named October as LGBTQI plus History Month. It's not enough that they have June for their Pride Month. Now, October, they're declaring as their History Month. Students as young as 5 years old will participate in different lessons that focus on the inclusion of LGBTQ plus topics. The Week of Action Toolkit Elementary, sent from the Board of Education, outlines these suggested lesson plans, which of course can be modified by the teacher to fit their students' needs. Get your kids out of the public schools. This is not just happening in LA. This is happening, actually, they're targeting red communities, red states, for this garbage. They are after your children. What was a conspiracy theory 10 years ago, 5 years ago, is now the headlines. They're after your children. Get your children out of the public government indoctrination programs. If you love your children. Anyway, if you don't, then we'll just keep, you know, shuffling them off to the government education system. All right, segment two coming up right after this. We're going to talk about Israel, Hamas, what it means to you and me, how big this has the potential to go. Stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night.
Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots. This is segment two, Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. Now, I started off a couple weeks ago going over an article from AltMarket talking about solutions to some of the challenges that we're facing as American patriots. And this was an article calling for bringing back citizen militias, which I am absolutely all for. The problem is, I'm not so sure the patriot community lacks the will anymore. So it'll be just a shot in the dark to promote this for whoever it resonates with, even if they're in small pockets. But we do need this more now than ever. But let's talk about things that are unprecedented. We've had quite a few unprecedented disasters, emergencies take place. We're living in absolutely tumultuous times. You cannot predict the future, but you can anticipate that there will be some challenges that you can take universal measures, which will cover, you know, food storage, self-defense, be self-reliant medically, build community, establish emergency communications. These are fundamentals that apply regardless of whether or not you're faced with a hurricane or a civil war. I mean, these are just fundamental basics. But those things can happen so fast and without warning, and they usually do. And people right now in Israel are just stunned. At least 5,000 rockets have been fired toward Tel Aviv and other major cities. And not to mention the Hamas talking about going operational across the country, especially in the south. And then now Hezbollah coming in from the north, from the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip. And already they've been firing mortar rounds from there, with other countries potentially getting involved. So this, for the Israelis, is unprecedented. 9/11 was unprecedented. So you could probably imagine some type of scenarios happening here in the United States. We've identified a few based on threats that we're aware of. I don't know how Israel was taken by surprise with this. I saw a video of a woman who had previously served with the Israeli Defense Forces in Gaza, and she worked on the border patrol. She's saying there's no way. She said, you literally, your supervisors are making sure you do not take your eyes off that screen. It is saturated with cameras and sensors. I mean, you've got a rabbit or a stork getting too close to the fence, they're sending somebody out there to investigate. How you can blast through three or four sections of this fence with bulldozers and then motorcycles, foot soldiers, and vehicles just passing through and invading the surrounding communities with no response for hours is astounding. Something's not right. Something stinks there. It just doesn't make sense. But the reports are Israel was surprised by this attack by Hamas, which took place on the Sabbath. The early morning, about 6:30 a.m. Saturday, they started firing rockets on Tel Aviv and other cities. And Hamas terrorists from Gaza, which is down in the southern lower tip, kind of right up against the Adriatic or the Mediterranean Sea, bordering Egypt, that's where this is located. They breached the border fence by air, land, and sea. So they used speedboats. They breached the fence with the bulldozers and went through with cars, motorcycles, up to apparently 1,000 fighters. And then there were dozens of paragliders, motorized paragliders that infiltrated over the border. Several of those landed forming a perimeter around this large music festival, kind of like Woodstock or Lollapalooza type of event, and just started mowing people down and raping, kidnapping, murdering people. Then they started going house to house in these communities. And I saw all this footage and I thought, there's no police. There's no Israeli defense forces. There's nothing. I'll get to that in just a little bit. So, yeah, I would say that's unprecedented. And here's an interesting thing, too, that I keyed in on. Just as we had, and Amir Sarfati posted this, just as we had first and second Lebanon wars, we can say that we have now had our first and second October wars. Jonathan Kahn is a Christian pastor, rabbi, Jewish Christian, who has written several books about foreshadows of things in prophecy and the cycle, the biblical cycle of things. And he has drawn parallels among so many geopolitical things, especially involving Israel. And I remember this particular Feast of Trumpets, then Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, which lasts a week. They all go right back to back, boom, 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 like in, you know, a 2-week period. And there's a lot of scripture about signs in the heavens and things like that. Well, there were a bunch of things lined up with Virgo, the moon at her feet, clothed in the sun was at her shoulder, there was an asteroid named Child, literally right between her legs where she would be giving birth. I mean, all of these things lining up. And I thought, this, when these things happen, something very significant happens. It could be in the church. You know, we're looking for the rapture. I mean, your fingers crossed, you hope, maybe. Or if not, at least something very significant with related to Israel. And Feast of Trumpets came and went. Day of Atonement came and went. Yesterday was the last day of Feast of Tabernacles, the fall feasts. And nothing. There's nothing really significant related to Israel that's happened. And then we woke up to this. So October 6th, 1973, on Yom Kippur, was the Israeli-Arab War when Israel was invaded. October 6th, 1973, 50 years later, which is a jubilee cycle, almost to the day, October 7th, 2023, on Feast of Tabernacles, Israel was invaded. And I remember leading up to this weekend, I thought, you know, I should go back and look at their 50-year cycle. Something very significant related to Israel happens. I should go look and see what happened 50 years ago. Well, duh, 1973, the Yom Kippur War, the October 6th, they were invaded by a foreign military. I mean, you could have almost looked at this and went, ooh, October 6th is coming up. Well, actually, this was October 7th this time. But last week, you could have alerted them and saying, hey, mobilize your troops. Something's, get your eyes in the sky. Something could happen. I mean, there's a very high chance, very high likelihood that something could happen. We're on a 50-year cycle. Things repeat themselves. But I didn't go back and look it up until after, you know, the Hamas invaded Israel this weekend. And then I put it together and I thought, dang, I was going to do that ahead of time to see if there might be something there, a pattern, if you will. And sure enough, there it is. And Blinken, Secretary of State, said this is the worst attack on Israel since the Yom Kippur War in 1973. How about that? And they're saying, you know, this is their 9/11. And interesting, too, when you look at the population of the United States versus the population of Israel and the losses of human life, it's up over 750 people killed now and up to 200 still in captivity, maybe alive, maybe not. And if you projected that on, you know, the relative to the United States population, that would be the equivalent of us losing 50,000 people killed in an invasion, you know, based on their population numbers. So there's a channel associated with Hezbollah. They said, today is the day when all fronts come together. This is from Amir Sarfati, picked up on this, that this is a hint that Hezbollah, that's up in the north, and the Iranian militias, that's up in the north, operating Syria and Lebanon, is planning to join the war from the north. Reports that Hezbollah promised Hamas in the south, Gaza, that an Israeli ground operation in Gaza will cause the Lebanese terror organization to attack from the north. Israel told the United Nations forces in Lebanon that southern Lebanon won't exist if that will happen. So they're retaliating right now. They've formally declared war, and they're treating it like a war. But listen to this. This is really interesting. Amir Sarfati shared this. This is from an interrogation of a Hamas terrorist that was captured by Israel this weekend. And this Hamas terrorist said in his interrogation, we prepared for more than a year. The demonstrations in Israel encouraged us. Now, let me stop right there. The demonstrations are this Soros globalist-backed Antifa Black Lives Matter type of uprising in Israel, flying their rainbow flags, protesting against Benjamin Netanyahu and these court reforms. They're trying to reform the courts so that they will not be able to push this leftist globalist anti-Israel, anti-nationalist agenda. Well, these people are protesting. They want to reform the courts. So anyway, this has created so much strife and chaos, division, demonstrations, violence, burning stuff, your typical BLM, Antifa type of madness. And this encouraged the enemies of Israel that now the country's divided. Now there's this chaos, this social unrest. Now would be a good time for us to strike. It encouraged them. All right, let me continue on with this Hamas terrorist statement. He said, when they breached the border and went into Israeli territory, he said, it was 5 hours before we were shot at. We were prepared with 1,000 fighters. We made 15 breaches in the fence. We were shocked that the IDF was not waiting for us. We walked with the abductees for 2 hours. So people were being abducted from their homes as Hamas went door to door. This is like ISIS gathering up Christians in a remote village in northern Iraq. But this is Israel with security on every corner and police with machine guns and IDF around every corner. And they were able to operate in these towns and villages in southern Israel for 5 hours before they were shot at. They were expecting a fight from the go. So this is extremely suspicious, but it also reinforces something. Be prepared to defend yourselves. A lot of Israelis are armed, but they have extremely strict gun control there. I mean, if you're in the the Israeli reserves, you can have a firearm. You know, if, obviously, if you're on active duty, you've got your M4. But most of these people were absolutely defenseless. And in the United States, the way things are going now is not the time for us to be giving up any firearms. Now is the time for us to be buying more ammo, because you and your neighbors could be fending off an attack like this for up to 5 hours before help arrives, and it might not ever arrive. So there's a valuable lesson there. From the Independent Sentinel, Hamas is thanking Iran for all the weapons, missiles, and tanks. Tanks? Well, they're weapons. This is tanks, according to the Independent Sentinel. But here's another one, unconfirmed. Hamas has purportedly thanked Ukraine for selling them the weapons they used to attack Israel in a video from their Telegram channel. So Israel is mobilizing. They are treating this like a war. The United States is mobilizing. And we have several things here. First of all, the Gerald Ford carrier group is steaming reportedly 50 knots, 60 miles an hour across the Mediterranean to get to Israel. And the reason why is not that Israel can't handle Hamas and blow them to kingdom come, but the entire region is about ready to go up. The U.S. Air Force will reportedly be deploying an additional 20 to 25 F-15 and F-35 multi-role fighter jets to the Middle East over the coming days, with the objective of this deployment being to prevent the war in Israel from spreading into the remainder of the Middle East, while also acting as a deterrent against any kind of Iranian interference or aggression. Because there's connections now, direct connections to Iran arming Hezbollah in the north, Hamas in the south, Hamas saying, thanks guys for the weapons. Of course, this is after the Biden regime has gave them $6 billion. And they're doing damage control, the Biden regimes. Not a penny of that has been spent. That $6 billion can only be spent on humanitarian relief. Yeah, right. We're expected to believe that. But I got a couple of updates here from G2 Intelligence. The Syrian Social Nationalist Party reports that its fighters have been transferred to Lebanon to face the armed forces of Israel. Looks like all neighboring countries to Israel are getting involved in the conflict. All U.S. air bases in the Middle East have went on high alert. Israel has confirmed its coordination with CENTCOM, that's Central Command of the U.S., as U.S. warships, actually that's NATO, CENTCOM, but as U.S. warships are to approach the Mediterranean Sea. Iranian militias in Iraq vow to attack all U.S. military bases stationed in the region if American military gets involved in the Palestinian-Israel conflict. To have an idea of Iran's large manpower in Iraq, the PMU, that's the Hashid Ash-Shaibi, and the Kataib Hezbollah have about 250,000 fighters. This suggests NATO, CENTCOM, US, AFE have upgraded from DEFCON 3 to Ukraine to DEFCON 2 and base command security set to force protection ThreatCon Delta. So it looks like US bases in the area very likely could be t- targeted. And on top of that, Turkey's President Erdogan warned America to stay away from the war and said, quote, "We are ready to defend Palestine at any price." Palestine, which doesn't even really exist. It's not a country. It's never been a country. It was an area occupied by, well, the Romans and then the Turks and the Ottoman Empire and then the British Empire. And it was mostly nomadic wasteland, uninhabitable until the Israelis, Jews, started showing up to the region and started cultivating it. And the Balfour Declaration with the British basically turned it over to the Jews so they could have their historic Jewish state. And anybody who thinks that Israel has no history there is on crack. It's very clear, the Bible's very clear that Israel belongs to the Jews. And prophecy is very clear that it would be revived again. New life would be brought back in and Israel would become a nation again. And here it is, prophecy fulfilled. So anyway, all of the rest of the prophecy is unfolding right before our eyes. Very interesting to watch. But I'm going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk about how this could affect us. A wake-up call for us right here in America and really across the whole West. Stay right there, Patriots. We'll be back in segment three right after this.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Segment 3, Radio Free Redoubt, Episode 23-31. In Segment 2, we're going over the Israeli-Palestinian-Hamas war that's going on. It's not a conflict. This is a war. They've declared war. They're treating it like a war because they're at war. And it has the potential to really expand. So in Segment 3, I want to address how this might affect us. Well, since we're living in the day and age of unprecedented disasters and emergencies, civil defense situations that you may not have seen coming and kind of blindside us, and, you know, along the premise of be prepared for anything and expect the unexpected, this could really expand, especially if Israel also decides to go after Iran. First of all, they're on the edge of being able to produce nuclear weapons and deliver them. And secondly, they're actively supporting Hamas and Hezbollah, who are attacking Israel right now. And that's not to mention the other Arab nations surrounding Israel right now. So this whole Abrahamic peace process that they've been working on and making headway on could just blow up overnight. So Now, Turkey is threatening the United States not to get involved while we've got our military converging on that area right now. So it has the potential. But here in the United States, we have the potential for our own similar situation. We have a southern border that they're not even pretending to secure. They're dealing with this, what they're calling a mass migration emergency, a mass migration crisis, and asylum seekers that they're trying to process in a humane way. And it's the most inhumane thing that you can do, because children and women are being trafficked for sex and organ harvesting and everything else. It's the destruction of our country, and it's designed. It's by design. Well, a part of this, we've been covering the jungle tigers. Chinese special forces are among those that are coming into the country, along with many other Chinese that don't appear to be Chinese special forces, but most likely they're all reading from the same script. They all have the same documentation. They all have the same wallets. They all say the same thing. And those are likely, history will probably show that these were advanced party logistics, intelligence, and saboteurs from China. That's one component of the threat that we face. The other one is Islamic terror, the Islamic terror threat. From NBC News, the number of people on terrorist watch lists stopped at the southern U.S. border has risen so far in fiscal year 2023. 160 migrants whose identities match those on the list have been stopped trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border, compared to 100 in 2022. This year, U.S. border agents have encountered a growing number of individuals on the FBI's terror watch list trying to enter the country via the southern border, according to the Homeland Threat Assessment released Thursday. I can't remember what date this was. Not long ago. This, I think, late summer, early fall. This year, U.S. border agents have encountered a growing number of individuals on the FBI terror watch list trying to enter the country. As of July, 160 migrants whose identities match those on terror screening data set have been apprehended by Customs and Border Protection trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border during fiscal year 2023, compared to 100 in fiscal year 2022. The number of all people, including U.S. citizens, on the terror watch list who had been stopped at the U.S. southern border as of July this fiscal year was 216, compared to 165 in all of fiscal year 2022. Now, when they say U.S. citizens, many of these are Islamists who have gained U.S. citizenship. This is not Jim Bob from Tennessee or, you know, Mike Smith from Alabama. These are many of them foreigners who are now U.S. citizens. And the number of border crossers on the watch list was higher in fiscal year 2019 at 280. So these are the ones that were caught. Now, since this event took place in the United in Israel with this Hamas attack this weekend, we have seen, I'm astounded at the demonstrations, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian demonstrations marching in our cities, New York, Miami, Chicago, Washington State. I can't remember the name of the town now. I want to say Lakewood, but that's not it. But all across the country, Los Angeles, another one, where people are out there protesting Israel, waving Palestinian flags. This has got to be choreographed. This has to be pre-staged demonstrations, and they're getting violent. So we have this grind against each other, cultural grind taking place between pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian. The pro-Palestinian, by the way, are many of them, besides Muslims, they're also your Black Lives Matter and Antifa types. These are the ones that are agitating for the terrorist Hamas organization and Hezbollah and Palestinians in general. So there have been calls, and I meant to pull some of these, calls for jihadists to begin striking wherever they are. And in fact, Egypt, a police officer opened up on several people in a public square, killing two Jews, killing Israelis. And so now the embassies, U.S. embassy, the Israeli embassies all around the world are putting out warnings, you know, to be extra vigilant, alert, because this could spill over into the Muslim communities all over Europe now and in the United States, in our large cities and high density areas, Minnesota, Michigan, with the high Muslim populations where they're sympathetic to terrorists. And this very well could get to the point where they all decide to go operational simultaneously. If you go back and look at the videos where these guys were showing up in trucks, vans, motorcycles, everything else to some village, some town, and it's Saturday morning, somebody is driving down the road, and these guys are walking down the road armed, and these people are looking and going, wow, who's that? Something must be happening. All these guys are armed walking around. All of a sudden, they open up on them, kill them. Executing people in their cars while they're just driving down the street. Motorcycle comes around the corner, they open up on them, kill them. And then they started going door to door, kicking people's doors in, executing them in their homes. And it completely took everybody by surprise. They're sitting there quivering and shaking, unarmed, in their apartments or in their homes, hoping, and many of them hid. They talked on their cell phones, you know, trying to call the police or 911, their version of, you know, their emergency, explaining we're in our bunker shelter. There's people trying to kick our door in. There's gunfire. And these people were completely helpless. So since they are calling for other jihadis to go operational, and we see this very vocal sentiment, even in the United States and in Israel, I mean, Europe and the UK, where you have openly supporting demonstrations for Hamas and for Palestine in areas that have traditionally been supportive of Israel. So just how these guys went operational, this could very easily happen in the United States in communities, especially where there are Muslim communities, where they just decide to go operational. And what happens when you try to call 911 and nobody comes? Where's the police? Where's the military? Nobody. For 5 hours? For 5 hours in an extremely heavily armed and secured state of Israel, these guys were able to walk around unchallenged for 5 hours in Israeli towns. So the world's getting, you know, quite a bit more volatile and hostile, and we need to be armed, we need to be dangerous, and we need to be moral. That's an American patriot. No matter what they try to call you, you're a terrorist if you support Trump or whatever, you know, fine, whatever. But all these people that were dancing around at this peace festival, right on the border of Hamas, many of them supportive of the Palestinians, were trying to show, you know, the call for peace. They just want peace. Everybody just get along. They got a taste of why people are armed, because there are evil people out there that will hurt you and kill you. They are why we are armed. So law-abiding, God-fearing citizens should arm up now more than ever. And in fact, I would say until some of this dust settles and until we know what's going on, and you should already be doing this, going armed everywhere. The violence in our society is unbelievable. I mean, some of the channels that I follow, police channels, there's video coverage after video coverage of just gratuitous crime, murder, executions of people that are just living their lives, minding their own business, and somebody wants what they've got, or they just want to do it because they just get off on it and want to punch somebody in the head to knock them out, kill them, or shoot somebody in the back of the head just to see what it looks like. And now we have this Islamic threat on top of this. So I would say even ratchet things up. And if you are in a situation, if you are able to, and conditions allow, I would go with your AR-15 handy behind the seat, ready to go. These people turn the corner on a boulevard in a peaceful, otherwise, you know, small town, and there are several guys there walking down the street with guns and just opening up on everybody driving by as they're driving by. And we're just living a changing world. So be armed, be dangerous, and be moral, and be ready to defend life and liberty. All right, segment 4, right after this. Stay there. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars.
At the end of the day, either the communists win, destroy America, or we destroy the communists, because that's what they are.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary. 208-667-1776.
Welcome back, Patriots, to the fourth and final segment, and I've got Codename Segment 4 in the studio with me tonight. Lady Liberty, good evening.
Well, good evening, everyone, and wow, boy, how unfortunate to have such a huge horizon of terrible events going on. Wow. I just when we thought it couldn't get worse, right? Well, we know it's all going to get worse and continue to get worse.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's an unfortunate thing. Other than the fact that we know that will be true from the Bible. So we've been given that as a heads up.
That's right.
So that, you know, I mean, in fact, Jesus even says, you know, use these words to comfort each other, that we know what was going to how it's going to happen, and that he told us that for that reason specifically, so that we would know that, yeah, it's all going to get really ugly, but he's coming back.
Yes, yeah, we're looking forward to that because it's just getting uglier out there by the minute, it seems.
That's right.
So, you know, somebody was saying, hey, actually, you and I were talking about this yesterday, just privately, that, you know, this could be the thing that ushers in the, like, Ezekiel 38-39 war.
Right.
Could
yep.
also usher in the Antichrist.
Right.
Because he's going to come onto the world scene and bring peace and order to chaos and war.
Yep.
Temporarily, of course. But the world has to be in utter state of chaos and widespread war for him to come and bring peace and
That's
you know,
right.
order. So
right.
So, you know, we're just speeding toward that. This is just what it looks like.
Right.
The prophecy in the scripture about what the world's going to look like, we're seeing the details of it. We were spared the details.
Right.
We were spared footage on Twitter. You know, we didn't get all of that. So this is what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also the fact that, you know, Turkey is getting involved, and that's exactly what the Ezekiel 38 war describes. And so, you know, we've got to really keep an eye on Turkey, especially since Erdogan warns Americans to stay away from the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and says, we will defend Palestine at any price.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the meantime, here we've got the U.S. is planning to move U.S. Navy ships and U.S. military aircraft closer to Israel as a show of support. And so, you know, we've got that going on. We've also already seen a Boeing C-17A Globemaster from the U.S. full of U.S. aid to Israel.
Yes.
Heading over there. And so, you know, that, well, of course we should, because we have always been Israel's biggest ally. And by
right.
all means, we should be helping them, especially over Iran, especially over the Palestinians, Hamas.
Yes.
And so, you know, gosh, it's just, oh boy, talk about chaos erupting all over the place. And right at the most opportune time, which is typically how chaos works best.
That's right.
You
That's
know?
Right. Well, we're watching it. It's very interesting. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, getting this close, warnings from Turkey, of all people, another NATO country, warning the United States not to get involved. They're going to defend Palestine at all costs. Makes you wonder if the United States is going to be in existence the way it is now, when all that happens, because there's nothing in the end times about the United States or any other country coming to their aid when this war happens. It's God intervening that brings them to victory.
Well, exactly.
We're like nowhere on the scene. So the end of America could be, you know, days, weeks,
right.
months away.
Well, and we don't know either, because it says he brings all nations. And so in what
yeah.
form that is, we're not exactly sure either.
So does the United States also turn against Israel, or does the United States isn't even in a position to come against them or anybody?
Exactly,
you know?
Right. And so, you know, as we're looking at it right now, there are apparently hundreds of people trying to get out of Israel right now. Mostly Israelis are trying to leave in the, you know, from by air as fast as possible.
Yeah.
It says here, though, that Hamas has announced their intent to target Tel Aviv's international airport, as over 150 rockets have just been launched from the Gaza Strip. Israel's Iron Dome missile defense batteries have been very effective intercepting and destroying enemy rockets, but some rockets successfully penetrate Israel's defenses, killing innocent civilians. Most airlines, including all that are U.S.-based, have canceled flights in and out of the airport at this point in time. And
yep.
so, boy, if there's anything left of the international airport at Tel Aviv after this, we'll find out. I sure wouldn't want to be at that airport right now.
Well, there's people like, you know, we follow Amir Sarfati, because he brings so much intelligence, real-world, real-time stuff coming out of Israel,
right.
that he was in the United States in Pennsylvania and on a speaking tour and can't get back into Israel.
Right.
He's trying to get home. You know, his family's there. And so I don't even know if he's made it back in yet, but it's...
Yeah, man. He better not try. I mean, if...
Well, he better try.
Or, well, where is he going to land is what I'm saying. You know,
right.
what if they're midair and he just has to, you know, be diverted to another airport in a different nation?
That's what they're doing. They're totally having to rearrange things. So he might have to fly into Greece and then fly into a regional airport that's closer to his home and just not even go near Tel Aviv. So,
boy, scary
yeah.
business. Well,
yes, it
and it says here that Israel considers the war to have started at 6 a.m. on October 7th.
Yep.
And so it's interesting that they've pointed that out to an exact time on the 7th. And I've also got a statement here from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whom we just we love and adore this guy. Yeah. He's such a great leader. I still can't figure out what happened to him that allowed this to happen in the first place. But he said that he vows to turn Gaza into rubble. And he said, "Dear citizens of Israel, this morning on Shabbat and a holiday, Hamas invaded Israeli territory and murdered innocent citizens, including children and the elderly. Hamas has started a brutal and evil war. We will be victorious in this war despite an unbearable price. This is a very difficult day for all of us. Hamas wants to murder us all. This is an enemy that murders children and mothers in their homes, in their beds, an enemy that abducts the elderly, children, young, and women, that slaughters and massacres our citizens, including children who simply went out to enjoy the holiday." And so, boy, that's just, you know, like we've been saying, that is just not acceptable.
Well, in October 6th, 1973, they were invaded.
Yep.
You know, on the Yom Kippur War. So, very similar thing. You know, Amir just posted, "First we shall bury our dead, then we will deal with Gaza, then we will deal with Iran."
Yep.
And Iran has to be dealt with because they've been nonstop supplying weapons to Hezbollah in the north.
Right.
You know, into Libya. And now apparently, you know, Hamas has been thanking Iran and Ukraine.
That's right.
For these weapons. Yep. So it's going to be very interesting. This is just beginning.
Right. I've got a statement here from spokesperson of Izzuddin Al-Qassam Brigade's Abu Obadah.
Good say grief. That five times. Boy, fast.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, whatever that guy's name is, he said, "We thank the Islamic Republic of Iran who provided us with weapons, money, and other equipment.
Yes.
He gave us missiles to destroy Zionist fortresses and helped us with standard anti-tank missiles."
Right.
Well, wonderful. That's just wonderful. How much of that $6 billion that we just gave Iran went to pay for that stuff?
Oh, the Biden regime is saying, not one penny of this. These are false reports. Not one penny of that has been spent. It can only be spent on humanitarian aid and relief.
Oh, and Iranians are super trustworthy and will uphold that agreement, I'm sure.
This regime is so trustworthy that we can believe that they know where any of the money is being spent on any of the money they give away.
Right.
And here's the other thing, too. And a lot of people are furious about this, and rightfully so. We are defending Ukraine's borders. Yep. Now we're defending Israel's borders, while our border is completely wide open. And Islamists and communist Chinese operatives are flowing across our border.
That's right. Well, and even worse, here I've got this statement here from Donald Trump Jr., where he says, "Hearing that Dems are working with Rhino GOP leadership to tie any new aid to Israel to more Ukraine funding. Instead of just helping Israel after these barbaric attacks, they're going to try to use this tragedy to light billions more on fire in Ukraine. These people are sick," he said. And are you absolutely out of your ever-loving mind? They honestly think that they're going to attach Ukraine funding to any Israel funding.
Oh, I know.
That just blows my mind.
That's how twisted they are. And, you know, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene said what happened in Israel could happen to America. That's somebody who gets it.
Yep.
We've got her audio clip. We're going to try to play tomorrow morning if we have time. Otherwise, we'll play it Tuesday. But I just got this other one from Breitbart. More than 61,000 migrants from special interest countries have illegally entered into the U.S. this year alone. The DHS distributes these classifications to those that pose security risks to the U.S., mainly terrorism. 61,000.
Yep. Fantastic. Yep. Just fantastic.
Just this year alone, not to mention last year and the year before.
Right.
And all of those that are sympathetic that are already here, marching in the streets, pro-Palestinian.
That's right.
So we've got a real... We're in trouble as a country. We are in trouble.
Exactly, especially since we're seeing all of these Palestinian support protests erupting all over the United States. You know, the one in Philadelphia, the one in Kirkland, Washington, the one in Fort Lauderdale, Florida,
right. And Los Angeles, Chicago,
and they're hostile. They're very aggressive, and then plus you see, BLM. Chipping in.
Oh, yeah. Antifa.
Yeah. Any of the globalists, they all are chipping in and making these violent protests. And so
basically, everybody who hates Christianity and hates the West, and especially America.
Yep.
This is happening in Ireland. This is happening in the UK.
That's right.
All across Europe. They're empowered by this. They're celebrating. They're handing out cakes and treats to people on the street. In celebration of this attack on Israel.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
They're going to celebrate the same way when they attack the United States.
Oh, exactly. And so, you know, I don't really like to give this guy much publicity if I can help it, but Senator Ted Cruz said, this Hamas terrorists, they are targeting civilians. They're murdering women. They're murdering children. They're murdering the elderly. They're firing into a rock concert. They just fired randomly. They're brutally raping women, and they're dragging them back to Gaza. These are horrific war crimes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. They're war crimes that the whole international community has always condemned, and yet that's what they're doing. And so... it's always been the United Nations that has always supported Palestinians.
Yep.
Always.
Well, you know, they're complaining about living in a prison in Gaza. Well, guess what? Well, let's make Gaza go away.
Yeah. Well,
then you can go to Egypt. You can go to Jordan. You can go to Lebanon. You can go to Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
This Israel's territory now.
Well, it's just like Netanyahu said, he's going to turn Gaza into rubble, and I hope they do.
So, level it.
Yep.
Level it and turn it into Israeli vineyards.
No kidding.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, good updates, good discussion. Definitely the discussion of the day and the week.
Absolutely.
We'll be following this all week. And there's, you know, more updates. We'll probably be raising the AMCON level for AMRON just because of the potential for this,
to escalate in the United States.
Absolutely.
Yep. And we like to just suggest everybody go nowhere unarmed. Make sure, even if you're just going to be driving into town, driving into any city, be sure that you're armed so that if you are in any kind of a situation where you're trapped and forced to defend yourself, that you're able.
And if you can, your M4, your rifle.
That's
go with your battle rifle now. This is just the world that we live in.
Yep, these are very, very tumultuous times indeed.
Yep. All right, well, you guys have a blessed and a safe week. Thank you, Lady Liberty, for all that input.
Oh, glad to be here.
All right, guys, join us each morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute. And otherwise, you be safe out there and have good situational awareness. Pray for the Republic and pray for Israel. And we'll talk to you next week. Otherwise, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.